is the Word of God, and I know that it is true. And now I want to ask you once again, like I did last week, do you really want to live to the according to the true Word of God? Really? Okay. You may be seated. As we do that, as we live according to the Word of God, some amazing things happen. Now listen to this. People and angels come to understand what God is up to through our faithfulness to God's Word. Listen to this from the Apostle Paul's teaching in Ephesians. It's amazing. Let's put that. Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. This is from the NIV. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then I want to read it again from the Message. And it reads this way. And so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus, like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. All this is proceeding along lines planned all along by God and then executed in Christ Jesus. Is he talking about us? About this church? About churches that we know? I met a pastor friend. Don and I ran into a pastor friend the other day. We've known this guy for a long time. He's not in the ministry right now. And he told me that he had about 15 years of a really challenging time, that he really struggled in leading this particular church. And just in the last few months, he's come to learn that when he was called to be the pastor, when he was called to be the pastor of that church, several church leaders, got together and agreed that they would do whatever they could to keep him from succeeding in ministry. That went on for over a decade, called 15 years. And when we talked, we said, you know, that's just plain wrong. That's just evil. That's evil. And as we visited together the other day, I told him that when I pray for churches and when I pray for pastors that I know, much of the time, I'm saddened by all of the messes that I'm aware of and by the troubles that exist in the family. But it is God's intent that many people and that even angels come to know about him, about his truth, about his love, about his salvation through the church. Isn't that amazing? That's massive. And that's our focus for today. So we're in the midst of a study in Colossians, and today we look at chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And we're going to grab a few thoughts from last week. But let's consider today that we, listen, this is what we want to think about. That we can be who our Lord wants us to be, and we can do what he has us to do. We can do this as we work together, Jesus together with us. We can do this together. Let's think about this, first of all. We can be the true family of faith or the true family of God, attractive, welcoming, fruitful, a church, a family of people, a family that people will want to be a part of. Last week we ended with this scripture. Here, this is Colossians 3:11. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Some blog I was reading said this, and remember the last few weeks we talked about change and about becoming the new people that God intends for us to be. This author said, the new changed person lives in a new environment, or last week we talked about living with a new normal, where all racial, national, religious, cultural, and social distinctions are no more. I don't think we have a real appreciation for the extent of the divides there were back then. There was once a huge division between Greeks and Jews. Barbarians were detested by the good people, by the cultured people, and Scythians were the worst of barbarians. And we? Well, we have public education and homeschoolers. We have Democrats and Republicans. We have Lutherans. And by the way, I read on the internet the other day, on Friday, the ELC voted overwhelmingly to oppose the marriage amendment, amendment in Minnesota, the amendment that would say marriage is one man and one woman. And as a body, they voted overwhelmingly against that. So we have Lutherans and Baptists and all other kinds. We have rich and the working poor. We have doctrinal orthodoxy and those walking the edges. We have those we like and the others. We have lots of things that, you know, we can really get riled up about. But in the growing family of God, the walls that divide us are taken down, and there's a wonderful growing fellowship where Christ is all and is in all. The fellowship is a great new normal in which to practice and learn love, to give and receive forgiveness, to work together to change the world with the good news of God who forgives and who saves and who changes us. Therefore, this is from last week now, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. To be the people of God, to be reflecting the glory of God, changing the world with God, we need to be compassionate, kind, and humble, and gentle, and patient. And we need to be people who let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Jesus came to earth so that we might have peace with God and peace with one another in his growing family. I want you to listen now and to just drink in and let soak in some of God's word regarding the peace of Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this. We let Christ's peace rule. We let Christ's peace rule in our personal circumstances and in our anxieties. When stuff mounts up and we feel overwhelmed, we can trust in the one who spoke to the waves and stilled the storm. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be distressed or lacking in courage. John 14:27. Psalm 4:8. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Take that. Take that pill when worry keeps you awake at night. Okay? Psalm 4:8. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body. There's something about health going on there and peace, and the medical experts will speak to that. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. John again, verse 16:33. I have told you these things, excuse me, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Romans 15:13. Again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And then from 2 Thessalonians, now may the Lord of peace himself, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. We let Christ's peace rule in our hearts when it comes to our personal circumstances and anxieties, and then we let Christ's peace rule in our relationships. That's another way we let Christ's peace rule. If we are learning, listen to this. See if this doesn't hold true. If we are learning to trust God in our circumstances, that includes our need to be right or to force what we know is right on others. We can be okay with differences and trust that God will work things out. Now, this does not mean that we should not express what we believe or what we know to be true or to be right. It means that we can let the Lord's peace have the day in our relationships, knowing that ultimately he's in charge and he will see that righteousness wins the day. And I think that's especially true in our family relationships, our own families, and in our being part of the growing family of God. In our humanity and in our sinfulness, we encounter situations like this. These are two women who have served together in the church, and they're at war. And we read about them in Philippians chapter 4. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same. I plead with them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. The apostle's really burdened about these women that are at each other. It's in the midst of this deep personal disagreement that we read these words of counsel regarding the peace of Christ. Philippians 4, beginning of verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul again, several places, tells us to let Jesus' peace rule in our relationships. 2 Corinthians 13, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Romans 12, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And again from Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. One of the really helpful things that I've learned in my training for chaplaincy ministry is the importance of a non-anxious presence. A non-anxious presence. In the face of trauma, in the face of tragedy and death, or even of great conflict, it's really helpful to be able to be present and not to be filled with anxiety or stress, not even uptight about what am I going to do or what am I going to say next? Do I have the right thing to do here? Just present and be a non-anxious presence in the midst of the storm. Be there. We can be that way with one another. Even in our family, as we are letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And a stressed out world, a world knowing little true peace, will take note, and they'll be attracted to the one who alone brings true and lasting peace. And for all of that, we can be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. And then we can spend family time together. Secondly now, we can spend family time together in focused and fruitful and fun ways. Here at Calvary, we have a great tradition of affirming the Word of God and its truthfulness, and we did that verbally here just a few moments ago. We encourage each other to grow in the Word of God and in its application to our lives. And this is a great part of becoming the people that God wants us to be. Colossians 3:16 now. Let the message of Christ, or the Word of Christ, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. The message of Christ, or the Word of Christ, refers not just to what Jesus has said, though I don't think we will ever fully digest what he said. Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God, for instance, is something that I think most of us just barely have begun to grasp what Jesus was saying about the kingdom of God and his being on the scene and the kingdom beginning to flourish in some ways with his presence. But the Word of Christ is not just what Jesus has said. The Word of Christ is the word or the message of all that Jesus means, all that he taught, all that he accomplished, all that he makes possible. The Word of Christ brings light and life into terminal darkness. It brings us hope and direction. The other day, and I've got to share this with you, the other day I ran across this from Dr. John Piper, a wonderful pastor and author and teacher in our fellowship. He ministered at Bethel University for a number of years, and now for many years he's been pastor up at Bethlehem Baptist in Minneapolis. So John was speaking at a conference on the topic of the infinite worth of the Word of God. And he highlights this way. Listen to the words of Dr. Piper. Evangelicals believe, indeed most Christians through history have believed, we hold in our hands the very Word of God. It is a breathtaking affirmation and an infinitely important reality. So let me say it again. We hold in our hands and are able to read what the Creator and the ruler of the universe wants us to know. The Bible puts us in touch with God's thoughts about everything that the Bible addresses. God has spoken. The reason we believe that there is such a thing as truth is that we believe that God exists and has thoughts about everything, and those thoughts are the truth about everything. God understands everything perfectly and fully, and this understanding is the truth about everything. And when he speaks, that truth is made available to us. And he has spoken in his written word, the Bible, and finally in his incarnate word, our Lord Jesus, whom we can only know because of his written word. And then Piper goes on to give these reasons for the infinite value of the word of God. The word of God has infinite worth because it awakens and it sustains faith. The word of God has infinite worth because through the hearing of his word, God gives us the Holy Spirit. The word of God has infinite worth because it creates and sustains life. The word of God is of infinite value because it gives hope. The word of God is infinitely worthy because it leads us to freedom. The word of God is of infinite worth because it enables us to defeat the devil. The word of God is of infinite worth because it is the source of full and everlasting joy. So Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. The psalmist encourages us to hide the word in our hearts, and we are to read and to study and to meditate on the word of God. Eugene Peterson has done a lot of authoring, and one of his books that he wrote has the interesting title, Eat This Book. And he writes about watching his dog drag home a bone, and then watching the dog take great pleasure in working that bone over. And as he does, there's a kind of a growl of pleasure. There's a growl that goes on, but it's not a threatening growl. It's a pleasurable growl. And in Isaiah 31:4, he discovered this. It says, as a lion growls, a great lion over its prey. And it's the same idea. A lion has taken down a goat or something, and it's growling as it's devouring and enjoying the what it has captured. And the word for growl is the word for meditate. It's the same word. Like Psalm 1, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. And in another psalm, taste and see that the Lord is good. Individually, we can and we ought to let the word find dwelling in our lives, but also together, we need to let the word find dwelling among us. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, Paul says, let it find this rich dwelling in you, plural, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. When we get together, we can guide and instruct each other, and we can encourage each other in the truth and in the life of God's word. And as we do, it increasingly dwells among us richly. It's real. It works. It gives hope and life. It's rich. It's rich. It's rich. It's God's word. And we do this as we listen to the preaching of the word, like we're doing right now. We do this as we work together on application to our daily living, as we talk together, as we pray, as we counsel and encourage one another. I think of how I've been a recipient of this rich dwelling of the word even this week. I had a wonderful exchange of an email with a chaplain in Mankato the other day. I sent him a brief email, and at 4:00 in the morning he sent me this long email filled with words of encouragement, filled with the richness of the indwelling word of God. And I think of sitting down with a group of chaplains up in Fargo the other day and listening to their stories, from a young man growing up in Africa to a sister, a nun, who talked about her journey from being a nurse to being a chaplain to a number of other people. And I think of what I heard about our youth group talking about, and we talked about it at the men's group yesterday, about counterfeiters studying the real deal, studying the actual money, so that when the counterfeit comes along, they know immediately what is counterfeit. and the challenge to be in the true Word of God. And again, yesterday as men, we shared stories around the table. Let it dwell richly among you. Let it dwell richly among you. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and then as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. We enjoy singing together, huh? We enjoy singing together. And again, we thank all of you who serve on the worship team for your ministry of the Word. And our singing is grounded in the rich soil of God's Word, and we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we sing with gratitude, and we sing to the Lord. And as we sing, God's infinitely valuable Word dwells among us with a real richness, and we are grateful with songs erupting, having a rich, profitable time together. He set me free, we sang as we began today. And I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. We sang that earlier, and so we sang the truth of what the Word is saying here. Finally, now, let's do this. We can do this. We can be this kind of people. We can live this way. We can live holistic, fruitful lives. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, whatever you do, do it all in Jesus' name. I was speaking with our precious little granddaughter the other day, and we were talking together. I was talking to her. We were talking about the importance of telling the truth and about the value of trust. And I tried to help her mom, and I tried to help her two brothers, our two boys, understand how incredibly precious trustworthiness is. If you lose it, if you lose your trustworthiness, you may be able to regain it, maybe, but not without an incredible amount of work and heartache and patience. We've seen how true this is in our ministry of divorce care, but we all know how true this is. And the world all around us, the world all around us is weary and wary of politicians who flip-flop and who make promises that they will never be able to deliver. And they know that, and yet they make those promises. And how many around us, maybe some of us, have suffered great loss due to business people and huge corporate giants who have no integrity at all. And the world, I think increasingly, the world is hungry for people who speak and live truth. And we can do this. We can be that kind of people. With Jesus leading the way, we can be people of truth and integrity, people who are faithful and people who can be trusted. And when Jesus is our Lord and our authority and our leader and guide, we can live holistic lives of integrity. And I thought about that word, and I looked up that word, holistic. Holistic has this definition. It's characterized by comprehension of the parts of something as intimately interconnected and explicable only by reference to the whole. Well, you got to chew on that one for a while, right? We talk about holistic medicine. Holistic medicine says we'll treat the physical symptoms of the body, but we know a person is more than their body. A person has emotion. A person is connected with a family. A person lives in community. If we're going to practice holistic medicine, we need to address all aspects as part of the whole. We are parts of the body of Christ. He is the head. He controls the direction and the function. And we are all intimately connected with Jesus the head and He who is the King. And we are about living and serving in His kingdom. And when we wonder, you know, when I do, and I assume you do at times, when we wonder at times about our own motivations, we can pray with the psalmist, "Search me, God. Know my heart, God. Test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God, lead me in the way everlasting. Living in the way everlasting, in the realm of Jesus' kingdom, doing everything in that we do in the name of Jesus, we live fruitful lives, we make a positive difference in our world today, and we make an incredible difference for eternity that we'll only realize when we get there. We can do this, Jesus and us, as He leads us. And listen to what happens when we do. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." People who are living with great, great disappointment. People living without hope and trust find themselves looking to the God of the universe, the great Creator, our Father in heaven, and the darkness and the hopelessness of their lives is met by the love and the hope and the life of the Lord. Through the people of God, through His church, people come to know what God is like and that He can be trusted and that He really loves them and wants to bless them beyond their imagination. And whatever you do, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We can really live this way. We can do this, Jesus and us, as He leads us. Just imagine, just try to imagine the hope flowing to all of the world around us, to our families, to our co-workers, to our fellow students, to people all around us. Imagine the hope that will flow to them as we let His peace rule in us, as we let His word dwell richly among us, and as we do all that we do in His name. And as we close this morning, I want you to listen to the theme that's repeated in each verse. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful. We're not thankful enough because we don't see as fully as we're going to be seeing as we continue to live and as we come to be with You. But we are thankful for Your love for us and Your goodness to us. Jesus, lead us in Your way. Help us to follow. May Your peace rule in our hearts. May Your word find home in our hearts. May it find rich dwelling among us. And may we do all that we do in Your name. with your leading and your blessing. And for all of this, we are filled with thanks, and we give you praise. Amen.